Today is Monday, January the 20th, 2025. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, which means a lot of people are off, but not yours truly. I am here for you to talk about, well, the coming of the clown world. The crazy is coming is the title of today's episode, and I think that it is. And that's not really an anti-Trump thing. That's just like, man, there's a bunch of crazy coming, and there is a bunch of reactionary crazy to Trump coming as well. As you guys know, if you've been listening for any length of time anyway, I don't carry water for any politicians at all. I can find plenty to complain about with any of them. But I do think there's some good and some bad things coming from the Trump administration. But I will tell you this, no matter how good they are, the left is going to go absolutely fucking bonkers today. I'll throw a little bonus in for you that I didn't plan on, because when I wrote the outline for today's show, the inauguration hadn't happened yet. I'm going to predict, if it's not already happened, because I haven't checked it, CNN, MSNBC, ABC at all, are going to absolutely lose their mind about the one little dig Franklin Graham took during his invocation today. He said something, I'm paraphrasing here, I may not get it exactly right, but he said something to the effect of, we've been through a lot of darkness in the last 4 years, but look at what God has done. And the faces of like Bill Clinton, Kamala Harris, et cetera, they were kind of delicious. Again, I don't carry water for anybody, but the absolute vitriol, hatred, and nonsensical lunacy out of that side of the world over the last 8 years has been insane. And, you know, sometimes you can feel good about people getting their comeuppance, even if you're not exactly enamored with how. And, man, today was one of those. Anyway, I think there's going to be a lot of good that comes from the Trump administration, honestly. As hard as I am on Trump, he did a lot of really good things his first time in office. And his biggest mistake his first time in office, well, his biggest mistake was ever listening to Fauci or BRICS. His biggest mistake, though, in the macro instead of a single issue, was putting people in positions of power, appointing people, et cetera, bringing them on staff, and not cleaning house from the prior administration. That was really stupid. I would compare that, if you're a student of history, to what happened to Ulysses Grant in his administration. He, of course, was a Civil War general, hard charger, drunkard. But overall, I think he was a guy that actually really was concerned with the country. But he had no idea how to be a politician. He had name recognition. He was a shoo-in to get elected. And he did the same thing. And that just tells me Orange Man is not a student of history. And I said that back in, you know, the first term when that happened. Like, this is stupid and it's going to end badly. And it did. So here's wishing Orange Man the best in the next 4 years. And we'll see where things go. We're going to be talking about all of that and more in just a minute. Before we do, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors of the day. One thing that is not going to change in the coming administration is inflation. Might it be reduced? Yes, but it's not going to go backwards. And it is going to keep going forwards, because the plan is, like, the Federal Reserve themselves says what? If we do our job perfectly, we got 2% inflation. That's cancer to your wealth. And so while I'm a huge Bitcoin bull, and that topic will come up today, I'm also big on making sure you have a diversity in your wealth insurance policy, which gold and silver are. JM Bullion has been a sponsor of this show for like 12 years. That's forever in podcasting. 12 years is forever for a podcast to exist, let alone 12 years of a relationship with a sponsor. They have better pricing than all of the ones you see advertising on TV, like Monex, Apmex, Lear Capital. I can talk directly to the sponsor, all your orders ship free. And if you're an MSB member, you get a discount. Frankly, I don't know why you would buy silver or gold from anybody else. As important as wealth is, so is health. And our health has a lot to do with the water we drink and what's in the water we drink or what's not in the water we drink. Berkey water filters are the most cost-effective way to make sure you're drinking the purest water possible. And unless you need to filter out fluoride, because you're a place where they're still putting that in your water, which is most of America if you're on city water, and if you don't put the lower filters in, the beauty of the Berkey is it takes out all the toxins, all the viruses, all the heavy metals, all the things you wouldn't want to drink, but it leaves the minerals. Isn't that cool? That's why it doesn't, you know, have a zero water result in the end, because it, you know, taking minerals out of your water is not necessarily a good thing. And you can actually get rid of all the bad and leave the minerals behind. That's what Berkey does. If you go to usaberkeyfilters.com, that's Jeff Gleason, the Berkey guy, the original Berkey guy. Again, and that's been sponsoring the show since about 2010, one way or another. So check him out. Very loyal to us, and he will take care of you. Again, usaberkeyfilters.com. With that, let's get into it today. And I want to tell you, as we start out, what today is not going to be. Today will not be a rah-rah, the orange man session. He's the greatest thing in the world, and the world is going to get better. Though some people are going to take it that way. It will also not be, the orange man sucks. It's terrible that he's president. I wish he wasn't. And some people will take it that way. Why? Because, as always, I'm a guy that calls balls and strikes. I don't even worry about so much what these people are going to say or even do, but what are the ramifications of what is done, including things that can look good but have negative consequences. The government itself, when you talk about the federal government, is such an interconnected web of shit that even a thing where you pull a lever and it looks like a good thing, it causes all these other levers to function. And at the other end, sometimes negative comes out, even with the best of intentions, even if it's not a screw job. So just keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, what it will be is an indictment of the Brandon administration. And Brandon has issued last-minute pardons. Last-minute pardons, when I made this outline for today, it was about 3 hours ago. And there were still pardons that got added after I made it. Basically, Biden's whole family, like any of his family members that touched anything that anything to do with Biden Inc., his brother, like their relations, he pardoned everybody on the January 6th committee and their staffs. He pardoned Fauci. He pardoned all these people who have never been accused of a crime formally. They've not been charged with anything. And he didn't give any specificity. And most of these people have been pardoned effective date January 1, 2014, up until today, covering anything and everything they may have done in any capacity at all infinity, ad infinitum. Okay, nothing like this has ever been done by a president before. When you say that, the liberal idiots will say something like, Reagan did it with Iran-Contra people who were directly accused, at least, and they were pardoned for specific things, like in relation to this thing, not a broad sweeping pardon that covers what? 11 years? 11 years, these fuckers have 11 years of a get out of federal prison card for free for anything they may have done, no matter what. You realize that if we dig into this now, we find out that one of these people literally committed actual treason. Not the way people throw that word around. Like, I mean, literally, like, if one of these people sold secrets to the Russians or to the Chinese, and you can literally prove it, where even the most devout of the liberal left lunatics would go, yeah, man, that's fucked up. No, that's not okay. There's nothing that can be done, no matter what it is. This is incredibly dangerous, and I think what this is going to lead to is a check on the power of the pardon, which, honestly, is going to be very difficult to do with anything other than a constitutional amendment. Here's my prediction. There will be an attempt to make the case that a president should not be able to do this due to the founder's original intent and the intent of the power of the pardon to broadly and sweepingly pardon people for things that have not even been brought up. That will go into court, and my prediction is it will fail. I think you can make a good case for it. See, right now I got somebody in all caps because it's serious when you say it in all caps. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just like, I love how people think that they're taken more seriously because they hit the caps lock button. Okay. Trial and error says, how are these pardons constitutional? Because the Constitution gives the president broad sweeping power of the pardon. That's how. There is no check in the Constitution at all on the presidential power of pardon. My belief is the people that wrote it thought, like, well, yeah, this is, if it's pardon, it's absolute. But I believe, and this would be the argument made in court, but that's not what was intended, right? What was intended was to pardon people for things they're actually charged with. not a preemptive sweeping pardon of things they may or may not have done over a decade or more. However, this is something you learn when you're in business for a long time about business contracts. And that's what the Constitution is. Make no mistake about it. The Constitution is a contract that created the federal government. And it is a contract between the people of the states and the states themselves. This is a little deep for constitutional law today, but I'm going to tell you something that most people will tell you I'm wrong about, but nobody's ever been able to prove otherwise. The federal government is not a party to the Constitution. The federal government had no say in the formation of the Constitution because the Constitution created the federal government. So if you and I get together and we file paperwork to create a LLC or a C Corp, the corporation itself is not a party. It is the result thereof. So it is a contract between the people of the states and the states to unite under the current form of the federal government. In other words, it is a contract between Delaware, North Carolina, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and their respective citizens. Okay? That's what the Constitution is. And if it says something in there, then that's the agreement. And the intent matters very, very little. Especially when the original signers of the document have been dead for 200 years. And it's never been challenged. Successfully, anyway, in any meaningful way at all. So when you say to a judge in court with a contract dispute, well, that's what it says, but Your Honor, he says, I don't care. This is what it says, and this is the legal meaning of what it says. Now, I wish we had more strict interpretation of the contract that is the Constitution. Like under the Second Amendment, the allowances government has been allowed to infringe upon rights clearly are completely in conflict with common law. Shall not be infringed is an absolute statement in a contract. In any other contract anywhere, it would be like you can't do anything because it says shall not. If you want to amend the contract and the other parties agree to it, then we can talk about it. But right now, that is what it is. But when this goes before the courts, and everybody cheered when they put people on the court in a significant majority, 6-3 majority to the conservative side that are strict interpretists of the Constitution. If I'm a strict interpretist of the Constitution and I look at this, I'm like, I agree with your point, but that's not what it says. It's not up to me to change this. It's up to me to rule on what it says. And this is what it says. And I'm sorry. I don't like the outcome any more than you do, but that's what it says. So I think you're going to hear a lot of talk of a constitutional amendment. Here's what else I think you're going to see. If that doesn't happen in the next 4 years, then Donald Trump's last day in office will look a lot like Joe Biden's. Everybody that was remotely adjacent to Trump will receive one of these same type of pardons. Because especially, if it's not a Republican in 2028 that wins the election, then you're really going to see that, because there will be this whole we got to get Trump all over again mindset out there enough to make it a concern. So I think you're going to see some sort of proposed constitutional amendment that's going to say something like that puts some check on it to the point of like it can't be overly broad. It has to specify, and maybe it's not even they will get rid of preemptive, but they'll say like there's a limit of 4 years of preemptivity and it cannot go forward. Because right now, in theory, you could pardon somebody in advance. Joe Biden could have written a pardon that says it expires in 2030. He'd literally have somebody to walk around and shoot somebody and actually get away with it other than the states can charge you. That's another prediction I have. That somewhere in all this, there may be a state where their state law was violated, and they may go after some of these people, a la New York going after Trump. And if it's done any way similar to how it was done to Trump, it will be just as wrong. It will be just as wrong. Like if you can actually prove they violated, let's say, Florida state law while in the state of Florida, okay, great. But if you can't, and you try to like tie a misdemeanor to a federal felony and then backfill it, it will be wrong. It will be absolutely wrong. But one thing you need to understand about presidential pardons, they do not apply to the states. Each state has its own process for pardon under its governor, but the governor's the ultimate sign-off on that. Moving on, Trump is going to sign at least 100 executive orders. He's probably got hand cramps right now, signing his ass off. We know some of what's coming. We have some inkling to what else may be coming. One thing he said he's going to do is declare a national emergency at the border and shut the border down. I know some of you will get all wailing and gnashing of teeth with what I'm about to say, but good. Good. Because while I personally would love to say we don't need to be telling people where they can and cannot go as long as they're not causing any problems, first of all, a lot of people are causing problems. And second of all, we all have to live within our own borders right now. We are all taxed for what happens within these borders right now against our will. We all have to obey the laws of the land that we live in, including a lot of them that are completely immoral. And to have people able to walk into our country actively breaking the law as they do so, with no check on that whatsoever, which is what we've had for 4 years, is bullshit. And it needs to cease. And this is not people coming to pick fucking lettuce for some of my simple-minded fucking friends, okay? That's not who this is. We have people coming here from all over the fucking world. Trump is right about that. And some of these people are hardcore bad people, literally convicted of crimes that in their own country are capital crimes. But their country let them leave. Trump's right about that. You don't like it? I don't give a fuck. And when we have people in this country that are actively committing serious felonies, they're going to jail with, you know, prison with wrist slaps from the state of like California or something like that, being released, not handed over to ICE. And we have people that have committed violent felonies, including and up to murder, that there is an easy remedy for if the state that they committed the crime and lets them go, which is you don't get to stay here. And we don't do that. We're committing suicide. So that one I'm fine with. Clarify the military's role on border security. You'll have to actually see what that says before I give you an opinion on it. End catch and release. Good. Tell me another country that liberals are so enamored with, okay, that you can do what people do here. I mean, other than like other suicidal Western countries like England, where, by the way, if you're an illegal immigrant, you can just get your ass to England and manage to stay there. You know, if you're an illegal immigrant from North Africa or something, go try to do that as an American citizen and see if England lets you do it. Let's see if they let you just do that if you are a UK citizen. And no, it's only all this nonsense coming in from these third world shitholes that they're allowing to happen. Catch and release. If you try to get into any other country, they're not going to catch and release you. They're going to prosecute you for violating their borders, their sovereign borders. So tough shit. But yeah, you're supposed to be an anarchist. And as soon as we don't have a welfare fucking state, then we can have this conversation. We live in a welfare state. It's being brought to its knees by these people. And the people that are coming in are not people that you want living next door to you. And don't pretend that you do. I'm sorry. Does that mean that anybody is coming, that some people are coming in that you would want? Like, sure there are. Sure there are. And we need to make it easy for those people to come here. We really do. America needs to be a very open-ish borders country. We should be. But there should be certain things that go along with that. If you come here under like any sort of expanded allowance to come in, you should never become a citizen. You should be a national. Your children can then be citizens. That gives time for assimilation to occur, and we don't have radical knee jerks in the opposite direction of what America actually is all about, since we're run as a constitutional republic in the form of, my special friends, a democracy. Yes, the United States is a democracy. It's also a constitutional republic. It is a representative democracy. You people with this, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. You're idiotic. You're stupid. You know how many republics there are in the world? Over 100. Fucking North Korea is a republic. So don't play the semantics game, because you just sound dumb to anybody that's remotely informed. I love having a conversation. We're a republic, really? And who runs our country? I mean, if you're smart, you say the oligarchy, and it's all bullshit, right? But if you actually believe in civics 101, you say, well, our representatives and our executive branch, our legislature, and our executive branch do. But right, how do those people get their jobs? Well, every year or 2 years, we have elections and we elect them. And what is that process called? Well, election process. But what kind of process? Is it a totalitarian process? Is it a random, like, do we just, like, open the phone book and point to a name and pick somebody? Are they appointed? How do they get elected? Oh, they're voted on. And what do we call it when people vote for their leaders? Well, that's Democrat. There you go. Right? This idea, because Ben Franklin said something one time, which, by the way, it's not actually documented. It's like hearsay. That there's some magical difference. This is part of the incantations used to control you. In the end, all you can do is what I'm doing right now. I'm not telling you the way things should be. I'm telling you the way things are going to be and what it means and how you should react to it. And then, you know, is this a net positive? Yes, some of this stuff is a net positive. I think, you know, basically making it impossible if these entities want to continue to receive federal money, which they shouldn't get anyway. But since they do get it, you know, women should not have men in their sports, things like that, I think is, you know, really great. People say, well, that won't make our, you know, our cost of living go down. Like, people want to be able to afford their food. They want to be able to afford a house. You know, this is an easy thing. This is an easy thing that like 80% of the fucking country agrees on, and 20% of the loons are not worth listening to here. Okay? Women's sports should be for women, and women are people that are born without a penis and balls. I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm not sorry. I don't even care anymore. I just got a very heartfelt message from a father. Listen, my poor 16-year-old trans kid can't listen to your show because I don't know whenever you're going to bring something up about it. Yeah, because I'm sure there's a lot of 16-year-old trans kids that want to listen to fucking DSBC. I'm sure there are. Yeah, that vets out, bro. And you know, he said, you know, you're homophobic and you're transphobic. And I'm like, look, man, I have a very simple belief about this. Children cannot make life-altering decisions, so we should have children making life-altering decisions. Men don't belong in women's sports, and men don't belong in women's bathrooms. If you are an adult and you want to wear a dress and you actually are a dude, and you want to have things chopped off after you are legally an adult, go ahead. I still think it would be better if you had some real counseling from somebody who's at least open to the possibility that this is a bad idea. But if you want to do it, you can. And if you want to go out and live your life, fine. And if you look like a chick, I won't know any better, and I won't say anything because I won't know any better. But when you come tell me you want Z-Zem pronouns, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. The cartels won't lay down quietly. We have a statement here. The cartels are about to get their ass waxed. There are a lot. I'm going to tell you, I know from people on the inside, there are a lot of people chomping at the bit to do this. They said they're going to go out, you know, they're going to basically be real terrorists because they're declared terrorists and go after soft targets. Okay, when you have scum among you, you don't not deal with the scum because the scum might fight back. I'm sorry, that's not how that works. That's how the scum get where they are in the first place. So declaring the cartels terrorist organizations, I have mixed emotions on this. Whatever you got to do to get rid of them, do it, is part of how I feel. There is no good that comes from the cartels. The cartels are murderous shitbag terrorists. They are. My problem is once you label somebody a terrorist, there's no such thing as due process anymore. Under current U.S. laws like the Patriot Act and the Freedom Act, Trump will be able to have his people go basically Bukele on the cartels. And if you declare something like MS-13 is a terrorist organization, then the only thing you have to actually prove is that this individual is a member of MS-13. And if they have a tattoo that says they are on their arm or their face or whatever, that's pretty conclusive that they are. So we'll see what comes from that. But I think that you might see a lot of your low-level cartel people haul ass back to their home countries. Because this is, without overselling Trump, this is very indicative of the movie Tombstone. You tell them I'm coming and hell's coming with me. Like, that is what's about to happen. And I know some of you doubt that, but that is about to happen in a big way. Because it can be done, and it will show action, and that's what Trump does. Even when he's wrong and what he's doing he shouldn't do, when he says he's going to do something and it's something he can do, he tends to go fucking do it. That's one of the things I respect about the guy, actually, whether you like it or not. I don't really care. But it's – you go after the cartel, you understand it won't work, right? Russell, what's your suggestion? Should you just leave him alone, right? Yeah. What would I do? I would legalize drugs. And I would immediately cut their balls off and neuter them with that because there'd be nothing for them to make money on anymore. You can't make money as a cartel on prostitution for shit anymore, right? Yeah, that's what I say. Tom says, screw the cartels. I completely agree. Fuck them. I don't care if they like it or not. Tough shit. Yeah, the fact that somebody will fight back doesn't mean you don't take the fucking fight to them. We have the, yeah, human trafficking is light what they're going to be able to do with that. They ain't going to be able to, they make their money on drugs. You can try to convince yourself otherwise. They make their money on drugs. There's only so much money in trafficking humans. The fourth and the giant. I'm telling you, you're about to see this. That, and it is going to have an impact. Ross, will Ross go free? Everything I have been told by people very close to the family and one member of the family themselves is yes. Will you hear it today? I don't know, but I bet it will happen today. There's no reason for it not to happen. Trump has nothing to risk by doing it. Especially when Brandon's out pardoning Fauci from January 1, 2014 till today. Like, there's nothing really to worry about that. If it doesn't happen, I will tell you that the amount, the risk of not doing it for Trump exceeds the risk of doing it for Trump. And Trump's pretty good at risk management, so I'll leave that one. But yeah, the EOs are going to be interesting. I'm only going to say that much today because we really don't know what they all say yet. We just have leaks of highlights. He says he's going to earn end birthright citizenship. That is going to be challenged in court, and I don't know that it will stand up to court. Now, I do actually like what he – Texas Plant Company, BTC, question mark. You got to be clear. What are you asking? Anyway, I think that the birthright citizenship thing is we're back to another one of these things. What was the intent, but what does the contract say? And I think what the intent was, people that were born in the United States to parents who were in the United States legally become citizens. And that was a lot to do with the end of slavery and some other shit that was going on. And understand at that time, it wasn't hard to legally come to the United States, but it was somewhat difficult to become a citizen. So people were coming here not as citizens, having children, and their children having children, and they still weren't citizens. So this was a mess. And it also had to do, again, with slavery as well. I won't get into it. But the idea that people would be sneaking into the country, crapping out a baby, and then say, my kid's a citizen, you can't get rid of me because you'll separate a family, that wasn't even on the minds of the people who made that amendment. And I did a deep dive onto it in the past. So I think that can be rectified, but I think it's going to require a constitutional amendment, and I don't know if the horsepower is there to get it done. But I think that like those, that's an example of the contract being flawed. There is one word that could have been added to that amendment that would have made it make sense. Legally, born to parents legally in the United States. You can, if you read it very strictly, you can almost interpret that, but almost is usually not enough to pass muster. Will a Bitcoin strategic reserve happen? I think that's what the question about this was. I think it will, and I think it may very well happen today. We'll see. Bitcoin jumped to like 107 last night, 107, 108. It's at 104 right now because of all that, you know, it's sell the rumor, buy the news, buy the rumor and sell the news type thing. I said it backwards. But I think that will happen. I'm not going to really talk about Trump coin today. I think that was a shit coin that already has gone down to like 40% since it was launched. It skyrocketed and then plummeted. And then Lance Melania coin. I'm not even really concerned about that. It's not a pass or anything. I think Trump's involvement with Trump coin is extremely limited. I think basically Don Jr. got into crypto. He did what so many crypto bros do. Oh, Bitcoin's cool, but oh, look at all this technology. Oh, we could do this and this and that. And oh, you can make money with it. And then he brought in some people to do everything. And then they created these shit coins. And they're just another shit coin in the shit coin oasis. And I don't care. Again, it's not a pass. It's just I'm Bitcoin only. And I don't worry about what shit coiners do because shit coins all eventually go to shit. Right? So I don't think that really affects the strategic Bitcoin reserve. And Trump is certainly not going to make Trump coin a strategic reserve for the United States. That would be just a mess. It would just put shit all over him, and it wouldn't work with anybody. Like, even his, they'd be like, what? I think only the complete idiots, the ones that have, like, Trump tattoos on their forehead or something, would give a pass on that. So I do think we get the SBR. I'm not sure it will happen today. Ross is going to go free, though. We will not see, and if he signs it today, and he's not let go, I know there's some of my special libertarian friends, you guys know who you are, the ones who went full retard, that will say, see, he's not really doing it. It's not really, when you get a pardon, and it's probably a commutation, there's still an out-processing thing that has to happen at the prison. And it's still, it's not like they sign it and 5 minutes later you walk out the door. That lag can be up to a week in normal circumstances. I also will tell you, I do not think he's getting a pardon in the strict sense of the word. Pardon would be, this never happened. There is no felony on your record. It's as though it's just gone. The only thing I can't do is give you your time back if you get a pardon. If you are commutated, you carry the conviction for life. And I think that's what Trump's going to do, because I think that's a safer play for him legally. I don't think that's fair to Ross, but I also don't think in practice it will matter. He won't be able to vote. He probably doesn't feel like it anyway. He won't be able to own a gun. He probably, you know, that might be a bit of a problem. I don't think anybody should have that restriction on them for anything that is a nonviolent felony anyway, but it is what it is. But I don't think Ross will be out trying to find a job and have this against him. I think Ross Ulbricht will be able to have a very good living writing books and doing speaking engagements if that's what he wants to do. But one way or another, he will have opportunities in the world. There's very few people who are as loved as this guy is by as many people as love Ross. And so while I would prefer a actual pardon, erasing everything and giving him a clean slate, it's not what I believe is going to happen. And I have some feedback that says that's probably right. How about the JFK files are going to be released? So says Trump. So says his spokespeople. So says Bobby Kennedy. Here's my prediction. What you're going to find out is something I already told you that you don't believe. John F. Kennedy was shot in the back of the head on the third shot by a Secret Service agent sitting behind the driver with an M16. By accident. That's what you're going to find out. And I'm betting, I haven't checked, but I'm betting maybe all the Secret Service detail guys are dead now, or like, you know, if there's any of them left, they're like senile in an old folks home. Trump said directly, when he was asked, you said you would do this term one, why didn't you do it? And he said, because they came to me and they said, sir, some of the people involved are still alive. Think about that. Who are some of those people? Do you think he's going to release these files and it's going to say the CIA used Oswald as a patsy and it wasn't really? Do you think any of that shit, right? Like, if that happened, it's not going to be in these files. Guys, when shit like that is done, it doesn't go into fucking files. There's no record of it. It's like it never happened. But I think you're going to find out that exactly what happened, you can find out by reading a book called Mortal Error that was released in the 70s, or you can watch a documentary about that book on Amazon called The Smoking Gun. And for the special children that I have, and I know you're out there, but I know that the CIA was, you know, working with Castro, and then they were doing this, and then Oswald didn't really do it, and the mob was involved, and they wanted to get Bobby and whatever. Anything you're saying doesn't go away because of what I just said. I just said, whatever it is, you're not going to know. The Secret Service agent could have shot him by accident. Oswald could have fired two shots at him and hit him once and hit Connolly. And it doesn't change all the other conspiracy theories. And this is something very hard for people to get their head around. Two things can be true about the same event that aren't directly connected to each other. And the reason I believe this is true is they found three shell casings in the book depository. And one, the neck was crimped. There's no reason for that. Other than there are people, military at the time even, that would keep an empty cartridge like that in the chamber. And then the first round, that is ejected, and the first round actually is chambered. And that was a practice done by the Marines at the time, of which Oswald was. I think was he a Marine or Army? I don't remember now, but both did it. It wasn't a blank. No, it wasn't a blank. So you were saying it was a blank. No, it was a standard cartridge case with the neck crimped, had spent primer, had been fired, not an open, like a blank where the end opens up. And okay, he was a Marine. Okay. But the reason I questioned myself there is I remember being told he was a sharpshooter. And I'm not familiar with like the levels of qualification in the Marine Corps. In the Army, you have marksman, sharpshooter, expert. And sharpshooter's not exactly that hard to accomplish. It really isn't. You don't have to be that great of a shot. Anyway, I think you're going to find out that the theory behind mortal error, that at least that part was true. Do you think Trump will open the files for Jeffrey Epstein? No, I don't. There's been no talk of it, and I don't think that you're going to get something like that with no talk of it coming first. Anyway, moving on. What about the emotional shutdowns on the left? I think those are going to be somewhat delicious. And there's a little awkward thing going on here, too. So yesterday, if you felt a disturbance in the force, as though millions of people were in suffering agony on a planet being torn apart by the empire, what you actually felt was Gen Z and some of Gen Alpha and a little bit of the millennial generation in the throes of TikTok withdrawal. TikTok went dark yesterday for about 8 hours. Trump said, I'm going to sign an executive order and give them more time to find an American entity to buy half of TikTok, not the whole thing. And magically, TikTok turned back on. The number one place to see leftists filming themselves having emotional shutdowns because Trump has been where, my friends? TikTok. Isn't this a little awkward? Isn't this a little awkward? So understand, some of these people make a lot of money on TikTok, throwing emotional shutdowns, talking about how Trump is, what's the latest one I heard? Hair plug Hitler, right? He's an actual fascist. Oh, my God, he's racist. He's white supremacist. He's a Nazi. He's literally Hitler, right? All his shit. Okay, these people just had, without even him doing anything, just him saying something, their livelihoods restored, at least for a time, by Trump, while Biden sat by and let it happen. And his Democrat-led Congress passed this ban in the first place. That's going to be an interesting thing. How are people like Harry Sisson, who's been paid by the DNC for years to talk about how great Biden is and how terrible Trump is and makes a big check off of this? How are they going to respond to the fact, you know, and those people, they'll just act like it never happened, or they'll say he had to or some other bullshit. They'll make it up. But I think the danger here for the left is, how many open-minded young people are going to see Trump as the one that gave them back their beloved TikTok? Now, I know people have different issues on this. This is my opinion. The United States has no business telling any social media company what to do with themselves. Now, when people say, well, they're taking data, they're stealing data. Okay, fine. Okay, I got an idea for you. How about you pass a law that says it's not okay to do that with people's data, and that anybody violating that law is going to go to prison in a federal penitentiary for 25 years to life? Problem solved. But that would mean that all the other ones can't, like Facebook and shit, can't do it either, right? You don't have to say, like, a foreign entity operating a thing at the president's discretion. You understand what this law actually says, that the president can choose to do this. So when people say Trump can't undo it, because it was a law with a deadline passed by Congress. Yeah, but see, the problem with that is the law didn't say specifically ban TikTok because. It said the executive can, at his discretion, do it. So what's Trump doing? Part of the deal, baby. I want half of TikTok owned by American companies. Is that right? No, it is not right. It is wrong. It is bullshit, but it's exactly what I would expect Trump to do. Is this a win for the United States economically? Yeah, Yeah. Here's the secret, though. TikTok US is basically running US. The servers are in fucking Texas. Did you know that? Anyone ever tell you that? Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Alabama, guess your cell phone and computers are made in China, and more than likely give them anything they want anyway. Yeah, probably true. Especially if you are lax in your own particular habits and your own practices. That's the word I was looking for. Moving on, let's go on. Censorship on social media will continue. Zuckercock or Zuckercuck, whichever you prefer, switching to community notes won't change censorship. Censorship still exists on X right now with community notes. You can go make a post on X and you can say something that even the Elon Musk, Linda Yak fucking guidelines say is okay. And it will still automatically be censored. You can say something like, I was working on my car. I thought I was going to be able to fix it, but the tranny is gone. And their automatic shit will think that you're offending trans people and shut you down. Don't tell me there's no censorship there. The censorship will continue everywhere. What is X doing right now, though? X is adding a video-only feed to be a home for lost TikTokers who are no longer lost. Elon made a choice. Let's make a soft landing for these people, and we can benefit from it. And then his own dog, right, Trump, said, yeah, hold on a minute. That's an interesting little back end. We'll see where that goes. Elon's a big boy. He can probably handle that without throwing a tantrum or anything. Steve Bottom says there's no such thing as trans people. Yes, there are. If you want to be technical and say that, you know, they're not really like a man in a dress is still a man, I agree with you. But that's what we call them. Don't be such a dick that you can't simply say that's what these people call themselves. That's what they are. Right. You can call Steve. You can call yourself a bark licker. And I'm going to refer to you and all of your kind as bark lickers if you're all happy with that name. That's fine. Go lick bark. OK, but I think what your point is that wherever you are, you are. And I completely agree. I do think the gentleman that I talked to you about earlier that wrote me a letter that I'm not even sure is legitimate, by the way, about his 16-year-old trans kid that can't listen to my show. Because, again, that's what those kids want to do. You know, he was really upset that I keep calling it a mental illness. But it is a mental illness. And I also look at it like once you're an adult and you've been through at least some level of counseling before you do anything drastic you can't change your mind about. If you want to do it, go ahead. You're an adult. That's fine. But it's a mental illness. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. I do not consider Bruce/Caitlyn Jenner mentally ill. I consider Bruce Jenner a person for whatever effed up reason in their head wants to live as a woman, but knows he is a man. Says, I know I'm a man. I want to live this way. I'm going to call myself this, but I know what I am. I don't consider that mentally ill, or I consider it very, very, very thin-lined mentally ill. The person who actually believes I really am a woman, even though I have the schwang hanging, you are not a fucking woman. And when you believe you are a thing you're not, I don't care how much you plead to emotion and how much you plead to fallacy, you are mentally ill. If somebody tells me I'm really a space alien from the planet Melnac, and once I realize I'm not being like trolled, having my leg pulled or something, they really believe it, then they're mentally ill. So when you tell me that you're a woman and you're not, and if you believe your own bullshit, you have a mental illness, and we should treat this as what it is, a mental illness. We do not need to lock them in asylums, but we need to be clear about boundaries and borders. You can live this way, and everybody should leave you the fuck alone, okay? And I'll go so far as if you actually, like, if you're not a dude with a beard like Grizzly Adams in a dress, and you expect in a situation where you're being interacted with to be referred to as ma'am versus sir, I don't even have a problem with it. It may not happen, and I don't think you should have any leverage if it doesn't, but I'll extend you that courtesy. In fact, again, if you pull it off, I won't even know. But expecting people to recognize, like, not just, like, it's not good enough that this person thinks they're a woman, dresses like a woman, and wants to be called ma'am. No, no. They want to be called Z-Zam, all this shit. No, fuck that. I'm sorry. This all has to end, and I think a big part of it is going to end under this administration, and that's a good thing out of it. And for those who say, but that's not a real problem, it is a big part of our problem. Because it's such a distraction, because the right, most of the right, 90% of the right could not give less of a fuck about this if it wasn't constantly shoved in their face and fucking up the dreams and the lives of women and girls. If that wasn't part of it, and you weren't making these people into like fucking generals and admirals and shit and putting them in positions of power they have no business being in, you take that away and the right does not give a fuck about this issue. For the record, I think the right would have no problem with a trans person in a position of power if they were actually really good at their job and really qualified for it. But because of all this DEI shit, it's impossible for that to happen because even if they are, no one believes it because it's like Ozempic. You see a fat person get skinny today and they're not like, I'm on carnivore or some shit. I eat less now. You're like, you fucking are on Ozempic because it's in your face all the time. There's a commercial for it every 3 fucking seconds. Ozempic, by the way, is like the Xerox of GLP-1s, right? It's all Ozempic, even though there's like 10 different drugs that are all GLP-1s. But since Ozempic is the most known, they're all Ozempic in the minds of the consumer. Just like, you know, you Xerox this, you really mean make a photocopy? Remember those days? It's the same shit. All right, moving on. I'm wondering if on censorship on social media real quick before I move on. Will you please do me a favor? Please learn how to use Nostr. You are never going to have freedom of expression and freedom to communicate with others and freedom to hear what others have to say until you get off platforms that say literally that you do not have that right. There is not a social media platform out there that actually is zero censorship that is actually a platform. And the one that I could say isn't is also just rife with absolute racist hatred, and that is Gab. And that's too bad. And that's because there's no place for people to go other than there. So they all went there because it all looks like works like Facebook, and they don't have to learn anything. And most of those people don't want to learn things. That's why they are what they are. So unfortunately, to me, those people have fucked it up. But O-Towner 98 is saying, Jack is right, Primal's easy to use. It is my favorite client on Nostr right now, but I don't care what you use. That's the beauty. You pick what you want. You can still communicate with everybody. You have right now the ability to be part of a network of people who believe in total freedom, 100% total freedom to say what you want to say, be heard by whoever wants to hear you, and for people that don't want to hear you to not have to listen to you. On top of it is an integrated payment network as part of it, and you're literally saying, no, fuck that. I'm going to stay with Zuckercock, right? I'm going to believe in Elon bro, right? Like, these people are not on your side, and here's the big problem. If you build something that matters there, they can take it from you anytime they decide to. And they will rat you out, and they will sell all your information to anybody. So it's up to you guys. I keep telling you, and in the end, I keep hearing from people trickling over time, you were right, they got me. I should have done this before. If nothing else, add it to what you do. And those of you like, but I don't have a business and I don't really care. And do you know how many of you guys tell me, I didn't know you're on X. I've been following you since 2009. I never see anything from you. How about if you want to see the people that you want to see, you go where they can be seen without some third party getting in the way. See, the thing about even Gab is there's still Andrew Torba is a third party who for now is doing what you want. But do you know he's really doing what you want? Is the code open source? Can you review it? Do you really know that you're not being fed bullshit? You don't know that. The only way you can know you're not being fed bullshit is open source protocol. That's what Nostr is. All right. So the other thing I'm wondering about with Trump is, will he make good on a promise he made a few times in the campaign that I think would be fantastic, by the way? I think it is the best way to get higher education reform that we could ever have because it will completely devalue generic degrees to zero. He talked about creating a free online college backed by the United States government with basically a decree that a degree from this institution is equivalent to a degree from any other institution of higher learning. That doesn't mean it's equivalent to Harvard or Yale or Princeton or Stanford. There is a certain like brand recognition of the Ivy League and upper level schools and things like that. But most people today are getting their degrees from any random university out there. And what would enable you to do is check off degree required, yes. What this will do, if it happens, is it will make conventional colleges, number one, like half of them will be out of business in 5 years. I promise you, you will see the biggest collapse of an industry you've ever seen because these schools are ripping young people off who are signing away 30 to 40 years of their future to pay back debt that is not worth the cost of the degree. Okay? It just isn't worth it. It is not worth it for the average person to get a degree today. Unless you know what you're studying, why you're studying, and what the results are going to be, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do it. But Jack, you can't get it. Bullshit. Right? We have people with fucking engineering degrees that can't get an interview, let alone a job. And that's an engineering degree from good schools. Well, they say we need to expand H-1B. You see, like I'm saying, not everything that's coming out of this side of things is good. So, but I think that's going to happen. I think it's an easy thing to do. I think it's easier than you might imagine it to be. And I think that the left is going to fucking completely lose their fucking mind over that. You don't realize how disruptive that really is. The left went all in, and they did this all the way back to about 1900. But when they really went all in on owning the educational space, and specifically the universities, was the 1960s. It ramped up in the 40s and 50s after the war, after World War II. But in the 60s, they like formulated this genius plan. We'll have complete control of it, and they do. They have almost a century invested in this. And you can pull it like a plunger in a toilet down the drain with a wave of your hand if you have the balls to do it as president. Of all the things he's promised, other than I would say Ross, and you know he's already fulfilled nominating RFK for HHS. So as long as Ross happens, the thing that he's promised that's had the least amount of press that I hope he actually does, is this free national university. And it will have a dramatic impact, especially if it's mandated that their credits must be accepted, because it will allow people to do like 3 years and then finish at a university, who at first will be like, no, we're not doing it. Like, we have to accept the credits, but we don't have to accept the student. You know, when you start running out of fucking money, you will. It'll be very, very, very interesting to see that. And I think it is likely, but I'm not going to say it is going to happen. RFK again, you know, I think RFK has a big part in talking to Trump. And what I'm betting is that among other concessions that RFK acts for, like a true cabinet position, not some, you know, Doge thing like Elon has, where he has actual power and can get shit done. He may have said, you know what? I don't care. I want people to know what really happened to my uncle. I want them to know. And I need a commitment. So I think that's happening because of him. But he is going to have access to all the data in HHS. Remember I said, like, all the dirty shit the CIA does? There's no record of that, you know, in the federal government. This is all disavowed bullshit. HHS, that shit is there. The real numbers from vaccine trials, the real numbers of complications, all of the places where sign-offs were given, shortcuts, all of that is there. I think RFK is smart and he knows you can't avalanche that shit. I think he's going to drop piece after piece after piece after piece. Kind of like James O'Keefe does sometimes when they get information, they don't drop it all at once, they drop it in parts. But I think that could go on the whole administration. And I think that he is hyper aware that someone may try to eliminate him, get him pushed out, go after him, shoot him even. And I'll bet you he'll have like a fail safe. Like, as I'm releasing this, if anything happens, it all goes. And it'll be really interesting to see a lot of the apologists for Big Pharma and all, which, by the way, the left was always the hardest on Big Pharma, weren't they? Were the left the ones that were like, other than vaccines, the left has always loved vaccines because they just believe in them, right? They believe them equivalently too. Like, it's not about like, well, let's evaluate each vaccine. Like when people, they say just vaccines, that is one of the most disingenuous anti-scientific thing you can do. It is no different than saying, I trust drugs. Is that too broad for you? Okay. I trust pharmaceutical grade drugs. Really? So you trust penicillin equally to Ozempic, and you trust Ozempic equally to like Vraylar, and you trust that equally to like whatever the fuck other thing they're selling right now, RingQuest or whatever the fuck it is. Like all these drugs, you trust them all equally? Well, no, that would be stupid. They all have different side effects, different reactions, made of different. I'm just saying maybe we apply that logic to jab jabs too. Like we don't make them an equivalent, but the left has always been anti-big government. Not anti-big government, anti-big corporation, right? And but yet during the Biden administration, we literally had, you know, gay rights and trans rights activists marching with a rainbow Raytheon banner and propping up Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna. It's going to be interesting to see how they react when somebody from their side, honestly, because RFK is a Democrat, release all this information. My guess, though, is most of them will inoculate themselves from acceptance of the truth and come up with some bullshit spin. And I don't know it'll make the big difference that a lot of us expect, but I think there's a huge number of people that are open-minded, and those people will all probably at least realize that they've been lied to, where they've really just not wanted to believe that they're lied to. So hopefully that will be good that comes out of this. Trump's cabinet picks. I personally think they will most likely all get approved. I think Ernst saying, I am going to vote for Hegseth, kind of that's a done deal. The one I think they're afraid of the most is Kash Patel. But with the blanket pardons that Fauci has, there's a lot of voices that might have been like, no, don't let that happen. That'll be like, okay, well, I don't care. I got mine now. I can't think of the guy. There's one of the assholes on the Democrat side as part of January 6th committee said, I don't need a pardon. I didn't ask for a pardon. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't want it. But you know what he didn't say? I decline it. He didn't say that, did he? Right? But I think that the not just within the DOJ, not just within the FBI, I think that there are people all over this that are terrified of that person. Whether he'll actually be the wrecking ball he seems like he's going to be, we'll see. But he's my number one pick to not get approved out of everybody. Tulsi Gabbard will get approved. There'll be a bunch of dog and pony happenstance, blah, 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 blah. She'll still get approved. Doug Burgum will get approved. Marco Rubio will get rubber stamped. He's a swamp creature. Rubio makes me wonder if Trump really means some of the things he says. But a lot of these other people, I'm like, well, if you're going to pick people, at least have a shot to get approved. They're not too bad. And this is how you – well, no. Lots of stuff coming in fast. This is how you ask a question, guys. I've only got two starred right now, word question in all caps. If you don't do that, odds are I won't see it. And let's put that up now to remind everybody. All right, continuing on. I want to talk about – something that I don't think people really have put their mind to right now. Like, that something that looks good can be bad. And something I think everybody said would be good except, oh, I don't want the enemy to be successful. Because there are people that, like, they literally root against presidents when that president isn't their side, which I think is asinine. Now, pointing out their bullshit and their lies and their manipulations, I don't mean that. But I'm saying, like, you're rooting for the economy to fail because you don't want the other guy to look good. But can we have a boom in the economy and negative consequences to it at this point in our existence? Maybe. We're going to have to deal with the inflation one way or another. And we have some things that are set up right now that no matter what you do, the market has to correct itself. Going out and spending $80,000 for a moderately equipped, decent-looking F-150 doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. People paying for cars, what we were paying for housing, you know, 20, 25 years ago, I don't care what you say. Economically, that is not sustainable. There is not going to be enough of a lift in income to compensate for the disparity in the price of housing and transportation. It cannot rectify itself the way that it is. Right now, auto inventory is insanely high. The companies are advertising deals, but they're not deals. So I looked in one of the highest inventory vehicles right now in America, meaning they're sitting on lots, they're made, they're ready to go to customers, and they can't move them. There's 26,000 on dealer lots, Ram 1500s, of all packages and trims, from standard cabs, quad cabs, four-wheel drive, two-wheel drive, loaded out, base model, 26,000 sitting there. That number has only grown over the last 2 years. It has not gone down at all. That's one make, model, trim. F-150s, I don't remember the number. There's even more of those. Most popular truck in the world is the, or in America, is F-150. There's more of those than there are. I went and priced, you know, four-door, like maybe I'll buy a car. I read that. I'm like, if there's a good deal, maybe I'll, you know, I have two vehicles and no payment. Maybe we'll add a third vehicle. I like having three vehicles. I go out and I price, a Dodge Ram, like base model, little bit of add-ons, four doors, that type of thing. $42,000, lowest price. Take all the incentives that they're offering, throw $5,000 down at it. You're still looking at $700 to $800 for a truck payment. This isn't doable for most people. I'm sorry, it isn't. And that is already like setting your sights below. You know, you're not, this is not, like, you understand that you could have driven like an Italian supercar for less than $1,000 a month 10 years ago. And people are paying that to drive a fucking Ford truck today. Thomas Sweet says we're a one-car family now. That's happening more and more. And what they did, and they really, cash for clunkers is one of the most insidious fucking things ever done. You can't go buy a $2,500 beater anymore. I used to be able to, I remember buying cars for $300-$400. I know that's the 80s. I'm an old fuck now and all, but like, we literally call them temporary cars. Like, there was a place not that far away from us, but it's a much bigger area called Reading. Like, if you, the Reading Railroad in Monopoly, that Reading, right? And you could go down to Reading and $200 to $400, you could go down there, pick up a car, drive it home, and it worked. It'd be like a Chevette, right? Or a Dodge Omni or something like that. And it was fucked up, but it would run for a year. And so you could go buy a car, get a job, drive a complete piece of shit into the ground, take it to the junkyard, and get $40 for it. So you drove a car for 2 years for, you know, maybe throwing a set of tires on it, $160. You can't do anything like that anymore. You can't buy something that will pass a fucking inspection for $2,500 anymore. They just don't exist because they got rid of so much inventory with cash for clunkers. And old vehicles in good shape, they're like high demand now. People want them because all the bullshit that they've done to vehicles over the last 25 years. So they ruined the used market and no one can afford the new market. So there's going to be an automotive crash. There's going to be a real estate crash. Real estate is at an absolute standstill. The only thing that has prevented a crash is people are able to make their mortgage payments. There's so many people, if they could get out of their house and move to another place, they would do it like that. And this has actually prevented a lot of emigration, moving within your own country. That's why I'm telling you, and I heard several like big time announcer type people use the exact same number I did this week after I said it earlier last week. And that is 50% of the people that lived in the Palisades will leave California. They're not going back. They're not rebuilding. I listened to a broker, a land broker, saying they're getting offers, like instant offers, like we'll buy this piece of dirt, and they're getting accepted like instantly. I predict the Palisades is going to become a giant fucking project housing, right? I'm dead serious. I think you're going to see all the places this shit burned down, they're going to have so many people bought out that the ones that remain will be pushed out. And they're going to do all, they're going to remake LA in their dream for urban America, right? But back to the bigger issue is real estate is simply not moving. It's not moving. You can't, if you own a house, unless you have a huge amount of equity and you're taking some serious geographic arbitrage into play, you can't buy a house and improve your situation financially right now, even if you're a homeowner. If you don't own a home, holy shit. I have been hard on young people on this, and I've been longer than this, but on the air for 16 and a half years, I've been like, young man, young lady, quit crying, quit bitching, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I don't care if you have to live with five people in an apartment made for two. I don't care what you have to do. Work hard, save your money, and you can buy a house. If you're 22 right now and you're trying to say, I want to be a homeowner before I'm 28, that's 6 years. I used to say, if you mean what you say and you don't get it done, you had something horrible happen or you never meant it. I don't see a clear path for most people to do that right now. I just don't. That may change, but for it to change, the real estate market has to crash. And it is going to crash. There will come a point. And what I think will happen is a lot of boomers and shit will decide, fuck it, I'll sell it for whatever I can get. That'll drive down some prices. But then a lot of them will find out that if they sell it for half of what they think it's worth, they still don't have any buyers. They still don't have any buyers. You have a population in decline. The economics are in decline. And interest rates are too high. The interest rate, this is the big trap. The interest rates we have right now are not really too high. Maybe a point, point and a half. And you can come down a point, point and a half. You know what's going to happen to the real estate market in this current situation? Nothing. Nothing. And civil defense prepping says there is plenty of cheap houses in Arkansas, many under $80,000. And where those houses are, there are no jobs that a person that's currently got a good job can get and buy that house. Right? I'm telling you, here, Packrat's got it. I love people that remember what I said. He says, you predicted early during the pandemic that moving would become hard. Consider doing it now. I don't know what shape it would take. Now we see it. It's exactly what I said, isn't it? I said when the whole pandemic started, get out, get out, get out. Your window is closing. Here it is. It's closed. This is it. This is it. We can't have this fixed. It can't be fixed until it corrects. The houses are overpriced. They're not worth the money. And you have this triple problem in you have interest rates that are high relative to cost, cost that is higher than a home should be, but a vesting of county and state governments in the value of the housing not adjusting down to where it belongs because they're making their money on property taxes. So when you have a complete market correction, with the what's going to happen is your tax bill, like if you don't move and they say your house is worth $450 and houses the correct and houses like yours start selling for like, let's say $250, they're still going to say yours is worth $450 and you'll play hell appealing that. You'll play hell appealing that. Eventually it'll have to come in. And then you got the other thing I've told you about for years. You got counties all over the place with this boilerplate cut and paste fucking shit. And what they have done is they have made it where people can't build houses below a certain square footage. This has ruined the starter house market. You know, my son and my daughter-in-law live in a house that's 1,350 square feet, two bedrooms, or three bedrooms, two baths. It's a little tight, but it meets their needs. They're young. They're in their 30s. They have two children, right? They don't need a 2,500 square foot house. If they want to live in the county they currently live in and they want to buy a new house that was built in the last 10 years, they can't buy what they have. 2,500 square foot minimum. The county over to the west of me, they're in my same county. So 2,500 square feet. The county to our west, 2,500 square feet. The county to my north is 1,900 square feet on new builds. Dallas County, I believe, is 2,100 square feet on new builds. Why? They're trying to protect their tax base. They're destroying our future. This must implode. And so I think what will eventually happen is people are dying or retiring to the little place, the little, like, going off to the old folks' home or assisted living or older people communities and whatever, and they think they can get all this money out of their house, but they find out they can't. And eventually you end up with a surplus of inventory on the market, and then that's when it has to correct. There will be a point where it has to correct. The thing holding it right now is where that does happen, most of these older people own their home. And so if they're not living there, they're not paying utilities, but all they're paying is the taxes on it. And they can drag that out for 6 months to 12 months if necessary to get the house sold. But it's this has to correct. And what really happened was the zoning problem I just mentioned. But the other problem is the artificially low interest rates, because American consumers are fucking stupid. The average person looking to buy a house is fucking stupid. They don't give a fuck about the cost of the house. They only care about the price of the payment. So by taking interest rates, pushing them down below 3%, you artificially inflated the real estate market. And when interest rates came back to reality, it became untenable. That's where we are right now. And nothing Trump's going to do can fix that. I'm sorry. AI is going to grow massively, massively over the next 4 years. I mean, you can't even begin to comprehend the growth of AI. And this is going to be equivalent to like 50 million people moving to the United States from a standpoint of power usage. For all the fucking wailing and gnashing of teeth about the people that hate Bitcoin, about it boiling the oceans, this is going to use like 10x what all the crypto mining uses in the world, just in America, for AI. So we have this amazing stress that's going to go against the energy grid because of AI growth and development, because it's going to be everywhere. Those of you that are like, this is what I told you 3 years ago when I started using ChatGPT and such. You better learn to use it, or it will be used against you and you won't even know it. It is going to be in everything. It is going to be in everything. It is in your phone already, but you can't see it. But your interaction with your phone is going to be AI driven. Every form of search and social media is going to be driven by AI. What you see will be determined by AI. When you seek information, what you receive back will be given to you by AI. I don't care if you go to notai.com, if that exists, the search engine that doesn't have AI in it, it will be a lie. It will be a lie. Right now, it's already the case. When you search Brave or Google or whatever, 9 times out of 10, you're getting AI summaries at the top of it. If you use a site like I do called Ground News, like all of the summaries of the articles that you can review if you don't want to read the whole lot, they're all AI derived. Think of it like this. When search first became a thing, the idea was eventually people would pay a subscription service fee for a search engine. Well, obviously that didn't happen. But that was the plan. I don't think people don't understand that. Like Yahoo was kind of the big dog in the beginning, and it was a directory. It wasn't even direct. When you searched, you did the search engine, you were actually searching their directory of sites. You had to submit your site. And they had all these other search engines, and there was all this competition. The dominant search engine would be able to charge users a fee to search. And that was never going to happen because somebody would do it for free. And so the revenue model became, if you're an advertiser, you can buy a listing. You can pay to be seen as an ad. Initially, when that started, a lot of people won't remember this. It's not that long ago. It was very difficult to know if you were looking at a sponsored result or a search result. And there was a lot of blowback for that because there was a lot of people like me that were in the search engine optimization space at the time going, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Look, and people got pissed. And so they made it clear, and they built a whole new revenue model. Search is in complete decline right now. It's still used in the millions and millions and millions per day, but it's in massive decline. Once a technology goes into decline, unless something abruptly changes, it's irreversible. Don't believe me? Show me a cassette tape. Show me a cassette tape. No? No? When's the last time you got in your car? Unless you're just like some retro, like hippie or some shit. I don't know. What do you call it? Hipster, right? Let's say some retro hipster or something with a record player at home. So when's the last time you jumped in your car and, like, my BTO, right? I'm going to date myself a little, my Bachman Turner Overdrive, taking care of business, and plop that cassette in there and rewound it and found where it starts and hit play? When's the last time you shoved a CD in your vehicle? Once technologies begin to decline, if they're still around at all in the future, it's only as a niche. For all the people, I love albums. I listen to albums at home all the time. You are 1% of 1%. I'm sorry. I don't care if there's a store near you, man, and it's cool. It reminds you of the 70s, and all the cool people go there, and they buy out. It's bullshit. Kodak film, another extinct dinosaur. Thanks, Sage Wolf. Absolutely. No, this stuff, once you see something go into decline in a technology space, there's a reason for the decline. And the reason for that decline is people get their information now from a combination of social media and AI. AI is going to take over everything. Everything. And it will be used. Schools will have personally trained AIs for specific things. And you'll have generalist AIs like ChatGPT. You'll have generalist AIs that run your phone for you, that run your home entertainment system. And every time this shit is used, unless it's something self-hosted, somewhere in a bank of computers, there's a fuckload of GPUs going brrrr. Like I said last week, this is going to drive innovations in nuclear, but it's also going to drive a huge need to up production of electrical production. And the number one way we can do that in this country, whether you like it or not, is natural gas. The technology exists. It works. It's easy to do. It's easy to build. The cost of building a nat gas power gen facility is a fraction of a nuclear. There's nowhere near the resistance to it. And I believe, by the way, the resistance to nuclear is completely in ignorance. When people start saying shit about Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and Fukushima, it's like, you're talking about 1960s fucking technology. But that's going to be a slow roll in bringing new nuclear tech to the table. And it's going to be slow walked in every way possible. And there's a lot of people that make a lot of money by slow walking it. More than the money they can make by fast tracking it. Because there's a lot of profit in natural gas right now in multiple levels. And what you're going to find is the people that are extracting the gas, moving the gas, and then burning the gas to make energy are all the same people in conglomerates. So that's probably where you're going to see the growth is going to be huge growth in natural gas power generation, which, by the way, is much cleaner than coal generated power. Much, much cleaner. But China is in on this too. And China has way more coal than any other natural resource. They're going to burn the fuck out of coal. All while we're supposed to neuter ourselves for carbon. China and India are both going to burn the fucking shit out of coal. Absolute go postal with it. EV prices are massively inflated, by the way. You know how much it costs to buy a Tesla, like the cheap one or whatever? Like, you know what it should cost you to go out and buy a really great car right now delivered, electric vehicle? About $25,000 with the dealership making about a profit of about $5,000. Plus whatever they make on the financing. What? How is that possible? You said I got to pay $80,000 for an F-150. Yeah, you do, because it's over regulation and the cost of production and all the bullshit in the United States. Do you know why they tariff Chinese electric vehicles so highly? The Chinese have a virtual monopoly on rare earth elements, the refinement of rare earth elements, and the production of the batteries from the rare earth elements, even though Elon is doing all he can with like the Gigafactory to bring battery production here, you still need the rare earth elements. They're building a huge lithium refinement center in Texas. Elon's behind that. We'll see if it actually goes into production, though. Refining rare earths is an incredibly dirty, dangerous, destructive process. If you go look at the mining it takes to make these things happen, it's insane. Jack, why don't you rail against it more? Because I'm not going to change it. It is what it is. But right now, if you live in China, you know, without, then you don't even have to worry about exports and whatever. But if you live in Mexico, you can buy a badass electric vehicle for $20,000 in Mexico. And you can't get it across the border and sell it affordably in the United States. They have 100% tariff on them. Trump said he would do it, but Brandon actually did it. So somewhere there has to be some correction in this, because Americans can't afford. So you either have to make it less expensive to manufacture these vehicles in America. And this requires numerous things to be solved. First of all, we are not set up for care and maintenance of electric vehicles in this country. There's some real issues. If you buy a Tesla, you're basically buying it direct, but there's nowhere to get your vehicle really serviced. That's what makes them have problems in Texas. It's very hard to buy a Tesla in Texas because there's not a dealership you can roll up to. So that has to be solved. The rare earth element issue has to be solved. The ridiculous onerous regulations have to be solved. The cost of providing health care insurance, because it's not health care insurance to a workforce in America today is ridiculous. The cost of doing everything is ridiculous, and you have these low-cost alternatives that can't compete in the market. There has to be some – and then you have high-ass interest rates on top of it, and you have a young population struggling to come up, and you have an aging population who don't – you see, right now everybody's worried about the kids. Eventually, the kids are going to see a massive wage inflation, and the old fuckers like us, we're not. You better – if you are 50 years old, you better double whatever you're doing to ensure your retirement right now if you haven't already done so. And if you did, you should probably try to eke a little bit more out of it. Bitcoin, that's all I'm going to say on that. But remember something I said all the way back in 2008 when the show was only a couple of months old. Recovery equals inflation. Trump is going to do a lot of really good things for the economy. The economy will get better. But what will happen then is excessive inflation after the fact. In other words, it will look better for a time, and then it will get worse. And I know that's hard for people to comprehend. I'm seeing a lot of people talk about Greenland here. I don't really have it in my notes today, but I'll say something about Greenland. It has a fuckload of rare earths. It has a fuckload of natural gas. It is of key strategic importance. What I told you last week about Orange Man's real goal with England, with Greenland is showing itself to be exactly what the goal is. And I'm going to do something here. I'm going to give Trump props. And it has nothing to do with whether I agree with his move or not. It's the savage or being savvy enough to know the time was right. And it's probably because other people told him what was going on. And he was like, I know what to do now. Greenland has been pushing for independence for years. They got a great deal more independence more than a decade ago from Denmark, but Denmark is still giving them money. And Denmark to Greenland is like this kid that's not really a kid. He's like 34 years old, and he has a job, and he lives on his own, and he makes his own decisions, but a lot of things in his life he still does what mom and dad say, because he's not quite making enough to pay all his bills, and his mom and dad sent him a stipend of like $1,000 a month. And so when he's like, but I think I'm going to marry this girl, and they say, I don't want you to, boy, she better be making some money, because if she's not, he's going to get cut off. How's he going to make his payment on his – because that $1,000 is just paying for his Ford, right? How's he going to make it without that money? That's where Greenland is right now. Denmark said basically you have all kinds of autonomy except – We get to say about whether or not you can actually do certain things, like make a deal with the United States to allow extraction of resources that benefits you. Well, maybe we think that's not right for the polar bears or the baby seals or the baby seal puppies or whatever, right? Like the whale puppies, right? Like they can just basically say no. And the average Greenlander would not be able to make it economically without the money that Denmark gives them every year. The U.S. could take that number, multiply it by 50, do a one-time payment, and it wouldn't be a rounding error in our budget. There's only like 60,000 people in Greenland. So Greenland wants freedom and autonomy, and Greenland wants a way to monetize their resources so they can do something very similar. Greenland is also they want to be part of America in some way, but they don't want to be a state. They don't want that. They want to be more like Guam or American Samoa, a protectorate, a territory, right? But they want the autonomy to be able to make these deals and they want the ability to make deals with America, because this is a reality. There are three countries in the world with enough money and resources to actually do deals with Greenland to make this shit happen, because it's not an easy place to do it. It's a very hard, harsh environment. Those countries are, in order of capability, the United States, China, and Russia. Russia might be able to do it, but it would be a stretch for Russia with their resources. China can do it, and China will not give them favorable terms. This is not who you really want to make a deal with, or the United States. So it's not that we're so good. It's that we're the least bad option if you actually want to do this. So I think this is all hit ahead, and it was a perfect time to do it. And Trump was masterful in saying something that seemed completely ridiculous, because what happens if within the next 6 months to even a year, this all happens to it? Like, Greenland is a fully independent nation, but a protectorate, or has some sort of locked treaty with the United States for mutual defense and aid and development. What? All the people that said he's crazy, what are they going to have to be able to say? They're going to be like, shit. And what if he gets some sort of a deal done with Canada that's more like an expanded version of USMCA, and he gets a deal done with Panama that, okay, you can keep the canal. We get favorable terms for U.S. shipping to cross through the canal, and we have a right to a military presence there if the need arises. That sounds perfectly reasonable, but if you said that 4 months ago, that's impossible. It can't be done, blah, blah, blah. But now it sounds reasonable. See how that works? He gets those three. He gets that trifecta. My God, the people that have talked shit about this guy will be like, fuck, I don't know what to say now. They'll come up with something, but it will shut them up for at least a minute. And again, I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying it is, from a standpoint of being an aggressive nation seeking to reassert its dominance in the world, those three are masterstrokes, and you don't have to like it to acknowledge it. Okay? It is. And I know, again, somebody, you're carrying water for Trump, and I'm going to have so many people tell me today that I hate Trump and I'm a libtard, because I'm just open and honest about all this. I don't say it the way you want me to say it, therefore, yeah. But recovery can equal collapse. That's something you've got to pay attention to with what's going on. What should states do right now, though? I think states have an amazing opportunity. I think states always have an amazing opportunity, and they don't see it, no matter who's in power. What states need to do right now is assert sovereignty where it's not necessary to assert sovereignty with the current administration. I know that sounds crazy, but here's the reality. If a state can assert sovereignty, and then they can go 3 or 4 years, or if you get a J.D. Vance presidency, 8 years, with that assertion unchallenged, it becomes de facto that that must be okay. It makes it very difficult for the next administration to roll back that assertion of state sovereignty. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that would mean that states could have been doing this while Biden was there, in asserting certain sovereignty over the protection of natural resources, let's say. Because the Biden administration would have been okay with that. Instead, they wanted to go out and try to fix the border, which was actually a problem, as I've acknowledged. But they're going to face headwinds with it. And so the states right now could look at certain things that they could do that the Trump administration might not even be completely in love with, but go, that's not our fight. That's not important. Especially if it's a state that they kind of get along with, like Texas or Florida. Like, we'd really prefer you not to do that. Oh, you're going to do it anyway? Can we make a deal with you on this and we'll leave you alone? Okay, yeah, okay, great. This is hard for conservatives to learn this lesson, because it's how the left operates. The left, I'll tell you something, the left is way better at than the right. Incrementalism. That's how they've taken over everything. They run all the bureaucracies. They run all the institutions. They run all the educational institutions. The leftists are in charge of everything because they were happy to take an inch a month for 100 years. The conservatives, if I don't get everything I want right now, fuck it. And that's why you'll get nothing you want. This is incrementalism. In other words, what are the things that we can say that our state has sovereignty over that the current administration will turn a blind eye to, even if they don't like it? You assert that while you have that opportunity. This would be things like expanding protections for food and goods produced inside the state and sold inside the state. This is a perfect time for that. And every state, blue or red, has places they feel that way about. And they should. They should take this opportunity to assert state sovereignty. See, I'm an anarchist at heart, but in practice, since I don't get to live that way, I'm a federalist. At least I should, because see, this is something people don't understand about anarchy. It's not no rules, it's no rulers. It would be the person that has control here and the people that live here get to decide the way things are here. And these people over here don't get to tell those people what to do. And then the way an anarchy would actually work is you get to choose, let's say, your jurisdiction. What people have said this city does is what the city does. And what they don't do, they don't do. You'd have a lot more choice. Federalism was our founders' attempt to give us something like a functional anarchy. And trust me, if you would look at that and say, that's insane. It's not an anarchy. Relative to systems of government at the time, I guarantee you King George constantly referred to the insurrectionists in the New World as anarchists. And if you look back, especially prior to the Civil War, the difference in living in, let's say, Arkansas or Georgia or Massachusetts was extensive, and to the point that you could literally be wanted for a crime in Arkansas and go live in Massachusetts, and unless you were so valued they sent a bounty hunter after you, nothing would happen. He's wanted in Arkansas. Well, he better not go there. Wyatt Earp, when he was a lawman in Tombstone, was wanted for horse stealing in Arkansas. And if he'd gone to Arkansas, they would have fucking hung him. That's how much autonomy there was in the states. I would like that back. I would like it to mean more than it does now that you move across a state boundary. Because I think that's how we get the laboratories of liberty that our founders talked about. I actually believe even with government that exists beyond what it should be, if you really had the ability for people in a republic to, and that's the, see, the magic of our republic isn't the way we elect our leaders and we're a representative, not a direct democracy. That's stupid talk. The actual meaning of our republic is all in the sovereignty of the state. The weaker the individual state is in its sovereignty, the more power the federal government, the power exists. The only question is, where does it lie? And when it exists with the federal government by proxy, it does not exist with the state. So the more we can create differences in the states, the more, then maybe we'll find out, some of us that are complete extreme libertarian anarchists, maybe we'll find out we're wrong. I don't believe we are, but maybe there can be too much freedom. Maybe we'll say, fuck, this state gave us too much freedom. I'm going to move to Nebraska because this state, Kansas, is too free and all kinds of bad shit's happening because of it. Or maybe we'll find out that some people really like the way Kansas is doing things and some people really like the way Nebraska is going to, and then we can actually live in peace with each other. Oh, you want to do that? Move to Nebraska. Oh, you don't want that? Move to Kansas or whatever. I don't know why anybody lives in either of those states anyway, but it is what it is, right? I'm just taking a shot. I don't really feel that way. My nephew, who I love, lives in Nebraska. Really good guy. We need to expand protections for food and goods, like I said, especially food, though. We are in probably the most friendly presidential administration, more friendly than it was when Trump was president the first time, toward food production and things like cottage food laws and state level protections. This is a real opportunity. This is a real opportunity to build up those protections where, again, even if there's people in the Trump administration that like it, it's kind of like, got other shit to do, guys. I mean, one thing about having such a big nut to crack, they don't have time to fuck around with peanuts. They got to fuck around with the big walnut. I think that states need to set up strategic Bitcoin reserves, whether the federal government does or not. And when people say, the states can't do that, Jack, the Constitution clearly states they can only make money from silver and gold. Yeah, but that's coining money. That's not a reserve. there, and it would also be, are they actually issuing a monetary unit on the other side of it? There is nothing that stops the state of Texas from establishing a strategic Bitcoin reserve and setting aside a fund to hold Bitcoin on behalf of the state to give the state financial stability and leverage potential. There is nothing in the Constitution that prevents a state like Texas from actually issuing bonds against a Bitcoin reserve, i.e. Masterlink. I don't know why I said, I used to work for a company called Masterlink, MicroStrategy, right? I know that's kind of hard to get your head around, but a bond is not coining money. A bond is a loan to the state for a promise to repay, and that is completely acceptable. It's not, a bond is not considered money. It's a bearer instrument, which is a form of money, but it is not restricted by the Constitution. There are several Texas legislators with proposals in to establish a strategic Bitcoin reserve in the state of Texas. Any state with any brains right now should do this. And I know, so they're taking stolen money to buy. They're going to do shit with the stolen money anyway. Your state is more financially stable with more things in reserve for the state. It just is. And, you know, it might even have to be liquidated someday, but it's better to have your Bitcoin reserve liquidated than like your natural resources liquidated, which is something that could really happen in the future. We also need something else. And this one, I don't think we're going to get anything done with, but states need to be doing this right now. Our biggest threat going into the future, and don't think Trump makes this threat go away or maybe even mitigates it, is technocracy, which is government by technology. The old concept of technocracy was that scientists are in charge. That's bad, but at least scientists are people. When the term first started getting thrown around, the technology that was available or even conceived of was nothing compared to the level of technology we have today and the ability of that technology to surveil, report, track, and interfere. You can set up a technocracy that literally sounds like the Book of Revelations with the technology we have today. Billy did a thing that we don't want him to do, and his bank account shut off, and nobody actually makes the decision. A chain of events begins. Billy commits this act. A computer observes the act, reports it to another computer. That computer sends it to a computer that runs some sort of fail-safe check that basically says yes. That sends a notice to Billy's bank and says, shut off Billy. And when Billy goes to the bank and says, I want my money, and they say, you can't have it. Well, why? You know what they tell Billy? Exactly what people have been told for the last 10 years. I can't tell you why. Now, you want to know the real reason the person you're talking to says that? They can't tell you why. Not because they'll get in trouble, because they don't know why. They don't know why. See, what people take that as is, I will get in trouble if I tell you why. We know why, but we can't tell you. Uh-uh. That decision has been made by technology. And when they say that, what they really mean is, all I know is there's nothing I can do to help you, and I don't know why. Let's put it a different way. If I said to you, what is going to be the exact price of Bitcoin on February the 11th, 2026? You can take a guess, but you can't tell me. I can cut your fucking toes off with a pair of tin snips. You can't tell me. You don't know. You can't tell a person a thing that you don't know. You can make up bullshit, but that's where we're headed with this technocracy. You being told you can't rent this house, you can't borrow money, you can't get your own money out of your own bank account. Why? I can't tell you. Why? Because I don't know. Because the technology says so. We need states. This is one of the most important places that states can be asserting sovereignty right now. Anti-technocracy regulation. And not just the kind I'm talking about. Things like states need to be passing laws that say you can't put vaccines in our food supply and sell it in our state. And if we find out that you're part of it, we will come get you. We will bring you to our state and we'll put you in prison for it. It has to be that severe because they're literally talking about doing this shit. Which means they probably are doing this shit on some level already. And the idea that this could be done in itself should scare the shit out of you. Any person, based on freaking Nuremberg, right? I mean, just for historical precedent, that is being given a medical treatment has to be fully informed about that treatment and its risks. And at least it needs – so they, I know all the time that happens. Oh, your doctor just said get this and you get that and you get stabbed and then the bad or good, it is what it is. But you can get the information if you want to. That's the loophole they stand under. Well, did you ask for the vaccine insert? It's like 18 pages of fine print you can't read or understand, but it's there. If you put a vaccine in somebody's lettuce, if you put it in their bread, and then what's the dosage? How do you do this? Like, let's say it's in 10 foods, but the person that's particularly predisposed to eat those 10 foods all the time is going to overdose. I don't care how much a doctor defends any drug maker. If you said, what happens if a person that works for you miscalculates the dosage and gives an 80-pound child the amount of a particular medication that should be given to 10 people that are 200 pounds apiece? They'd say, I'm not exactly sure because it's hypothetical, but it would be bad. We don't want to do that. There is a proper dosage per kilogram of any medication injected in the body, including stabby stabs. Right? How do you control that? They don't care. They don't care about controlling it. They just care about getting it into your body one way or another. I won't talk about why I believe that to be true today, because if I do, I'll definitely get demonetized on mine anyway. But I think it's our biggest risk is technocracy. And I think that Trump will love technocracy. And I'll tell you, my biggest fear with Trump is this. Trump has a track record of taking the action recommended by the last intelligent person to talk to him if that action is in any way something he might do. In other words, if somebody asks him to do something that he is completely opposed to, he ain't doing it. But if he's like, I got four options, A, B, C, and D. C and D are out, but I can do A or B. Whoever talks to him last is what he's most likely to do. And if you can control the flow of people who advise him, and you can, like, Trump loves civil asset forfeiture. That's one example of a thing I'm totally opposed to. Trump is for. There were some checks put on civil asset forfeiture. That's where a cop pulls you over. Why'd you pull me over? The way you were driving looks suspicious. They talk to you and they ask you some questions. They come up with some bullshit reason to search your vehicle. They find nothing illegal in your vehicle, but you have $5,000 worth of cash. And they say, why do you have this? And you say, because it's my money. Where'd you get it? I earned it and I saved it over years. Yeah, I think you're lying to me. They just take your money. And then you have to prove that that money is legitimately yours and did not come from criminal activity. They don't have to prove it did. You have to prove it didn't. There were some checks starting to be placed on that. And when Trump got in, he listened to law enforcement and said, we need this tool back. Well, gee, why would you want to? Guess what happens to the money if you fail to prove it's your money? The state keeps it. And the department that seized it, they get a big chunk of it. They get to, like, buy new squad cars with it every year and shit. Gee, surely you could trust those guys. No, you can't. And so that's one place that, unfortunately, the state sovereignty movement is not going to help us, because the states love civil asset forfeiture. And this is a perfect example. Like, I believe if the last person to talk to Trump on this issue explained why it was bad, he probably would have not lifted the restrictions and may even have added more. But if the last person that talks to Orange Man makes a clear, articulate argument that is any way toward where he's predisposed, that's what he's going to do. That's one of his real dangers, is he's open-minded and maybe in some ways too much so. And I know people will get mad at me for that, but it is what it is. You can look at past performance and see and judge it for yourself, I guess. In the end, what I want to always remind you, we're pretty much on our own here. I know there are people – my wife today was so happy. She is a huge fan of Trump, and I love my wife, and I'm not putting her down. But I'm like, honey, our life is not going to change that much because of this. there is a lot of stupidity that will end. And I am all for a lot of stupidity ending. I think it's a fantastic thing that some of this DEI shit is going to go the way of the dodo bird. There'll be something approaching actual security on our borders that we will at least get rid of criminal aliens. And when I say criminal aliens, I don't mean they're criminals because they came here illegally. That's the first law broken. I'm talking about people that have committed, you know, serious offenses, rape, child molestation, murder, attempted murder, drive-by shootings and shit. If you are in this country, if you're in any country, and you do illegally to begin with, and you do anything like that, you should go straight to prison, and from prison straight back to where you came from, by catapult if necessary. If we need to set up a trebuchet on the border and hogtie motherfuckers and trebuchet their ass back in, fuck them. I'm sorry, we're not taking them back. He's your own citizen, you're taking him back. Wherever they need to go, I don't care if we put them in a fucking pallet. We put 20 of them together, put them on a pallet, put a bunch of parachutes on them, fly them over fucking Venezuela and drop them out of a C-130. Fuck them. You're not supposed to be here, and then you stole from somebody, you kicked them out of their apartment in Colorado, you took over an apartment complex, you started charging. Like, they went mafia there, guys. They were basically going around and saying, oh, you got to pay us rent too. Or we're going to throw you out of your apartment. We won't let you in. And Colorado's governor initially denied it and did nothing to stop it. Like, I'm all for that shit stopping, but in the macro, it's not going to matter as much as you think it is, to the negative or the positive. Because basically you have two types of people to make up the majority of the country right now. Trump's I see women on social media. I'm counting down the days until I lose all my rights as a woman. And I've asked some of them, seriously, I'm very interested in what rights you're going to lose on the 20th of January. Please tell me what they are. You get no response. But they actually believe they're going to, because the TV said they would, but they don't know what those rights are. Haven't you seen videos of, like, especially young women? Fucking hell. Man, we failed young women that they're this stupid. They're not stupid because they're young women. They're stupid as young women because we failed them. As fathers, as parents, as community, we have failed these young women. I'll lose my rights, or I won't have my rights, or I didn't have rights under Trump. And then they're asked, which rights specifically? Well, like reproductive rights. Which right do you not have that the person next to you that's a man has? Which right? They don't know, but they'll keep saying it. This is not them. This is our failure. This is what happens when you have 50 years of most kids growing up in single-family homes, and most of the time with the mother. There's nothing wrong with the mother as a thing in and of itself, but we need balance as we're developing as young beings, and men are harder, we're tougher, we're just men, and we are one form of energy, and feminine energy is very valuable as well, and a child in an ideal situation will experience both of those. It doesn't mean a single dad can't raise great kids or a single mom can't raise great kids, but the odds of it happening go down. A two-parent home where the parents love each other, love the kids, and do things the right way, if you measure it across 10,000 families, will have better results than single parents doing their best. And most single parents will tell you, like, why do we elevate single parents so much? Because it's fucking hard. That's why. Now, the other thing that happened is over the last 50 years, and really from the 60s through the 70s, we took women out of the home. Like, there were so many more stay-at-home moms. And even women that worked, they didn't work all day. Most of them had, like, part-time jobs. They got the kids off to school. They worked. The kids came home when they came. They came home when the kids came home. Or they were stay-at-home moms until, like, the youngest kid was at least in school, and then they got jobs. We don't have that anymore. And again, I'm not putting down the person that's in that situation. You got to do what you got to do to take care of your kids. But because of that, we're also having less children. We're in a population without, for all the talk about immigration, without it, we're in a population decline. And we've built our entire care model for people that retire on more young people working than old people being retired. That number's falling apart. We're on our own. If you are 50 years old or older and you're like, man, I want to retire at 65, you better triple your efforts to be able to do it in anything approaching comfort. And that doesn't necessarily mean saving more money. It means designing your life for it. If you are in a state that will not let you do what you really want to do, and you're still young enough to get it done, fucking move now. Because here's the problem. Well, I think my state's heading in the right direction. And you're 35. And it takes your state 15 years to give you the freedom to do what you want to do. Hey, you're 50 now. See how that happened? Oh, and then all the other shit that goes with being 35 and getting to 50 happens. All the other debt, all the other entanglements. Your youth is fucking precious, young people. I wake up, you know, on a regular basis now and think, am I really in my 50s? Am I really a grandfather? Is 30 really almost 25 years ago? Is that right? When I was growing up in, like, let's say 1990, and I thought the 60s were so long ago, were they really closer to that time than 1990 is till today? No. But it goes like this, guys. It's so fast. The days are long. The grind is hard. You look at the older people who are older than you, think, man, it must be nice to have what they have, and that means you'll never have it. I've been working really hard on both my grandkids. Never say it must be nice. Say, good for them. If that's what I want, how do I get there? Despite all the uphill challenges, it's the only way forward. It's always been the only way forward. There are incredible opportunities. It's up to you to take them. And if you're somewhere where the place you are is the thing that's in the way, then you have to go after it while you can. I have a big dream yet to be fulfilled. I talked to a very good friend of mine this weekend about it. I don't know if we can do it, but if there's any way we can give it a shot, we're going to give it a shot. And it involves restoring small towns. It involves bringing them to a level where they can be what we want from them, but doing it in a way that will, without any kind of onerous regulation, limit their growth and spread them out to develop other towns around them into, you know, satellite clusters. Do you know I'm going to take a shot at that? Do you know why? So I can get rich? Fuck that. I'll tell you what. I'm never going to be super fucking rich. I don't have to worry for shit for the rest of my life. I'm going to be okay. And 5 years from now, that will be more true than it is today in a big way. Just running numbers and running math. By the time I am 60, I will not have to think about money ever again. And right now, I don't think that hard. So it's not for that. If anything, it may actually financially weaken me. I don't know. We'll see. Because I am coming really into touch with my mortality. And I want everybody to. I wish that I understood how fast 20 to 50 would go when I was 20, because I didn't. But that makes me acutely aware of how fast 50 to 80 will go. If anything, it will be quicker. It will be faster. Because a year to you when you're 50 is different than a year to you when you're 20. Just because of how long you've been and what percentage of your life it is. Think about it. When you're a kid, how long is summer? 12 weeks, right? Most adults realize 12 weeks is not that long. 12 weeks is not that big of a deal. But when you're 12 and that bell rings on the last day of school, you're literally ready to go back to school that fall because you miss your friends and you miss that routine. And it seemed like it was forever. Even if you don't like school, it's the social network that you have there that's missing, maybe. It's also just, you know, if you're a guy, it's a place to meet girls or whatever it is. Or if you're an athlete, you get to go play sports. Like, there's things that, like, but my point really isn't about school being good or bad. It's about that 12 weeks. Those days in summer when it stays light up at 10 o'clock and you're hanging out with your friends, it just goes forever. It's never going to end. What's 12 weeks to you when you're 25? It's a quarter. It's when you have to turn in your next report to your boss with the quarterly numbers. And it happens 4 times a year. Jeff T says 40 to 60 went fast. Yeah, I'm right in the middle of, I'm actually toward the end of that number, right? I understand what you're saying. And so whatever that big dream is you want to accomplish, stop waiting for the right time and start making it the right time. If that's a move, fine. If it's taking an aggressive action, fine. Don't do something stupid. Don't end up in jail. Don't end up in prison. That's not going to help you. It's really hard to work on your liberty from prison. Okay? If you're in prison, do everything you can to get out as quick as possible and not to go back in. But when it comes to chasing the things you really want to leave an impact on the world with, you know, somebody said, but you've accomplished so much in the last 15, 16 years with TSB. Yeah, I have. But I don't feel like it's enough. I'll tell you how I've been feeling lately. I grew up the typical American boy of the 1980s. I had a lot of issues, some worse than most of my contemporaries. But in the end, I believed in this country enough that I joined the Army when I was 17 years old. I did it because I wanted out of where I was, but I also believed I would give something to my country. I believed so much that we were always the force for good in the world. I believed in it with my heart and my soul and my blood. I believed that it was the right thing to do. And when I got back into society and started building my life as a civilian, as a young man in my early 20s, I realized really quick that if I was going to achieve anything economically, that I had to basically be a mercenary. Gen X, man. Fuck everybody. I'm going to do what I need to do to succeed. And I did. And I went from being, you know, a 21-year-old kid that's only skill set was being a mechanic from the military, not wanting to be a mechanic, to by the time I was 28 years old, I was making a multi-six-figure income with no degree. You have to be a mercenary to do that. And what did I go into? First, sales. Why? Go out, land the contract, kill the big game, bring it home, put its head on the wall, do it again. Stack cash. Eventually, I built businesses. And I was still very mercenary in my mindset. I tried to help people. I tried to bring people along with me. But it was, in the end, I was being a mercenary. What's good for me? When I built TSP, I wanted to do good things. I feel like I've done a lot of good things. But it was also like, I don't want to fucking work like that anymore. I want to build some of myself. And it was still, to this day, somewhat mercenary in that I have one really good partner in Tom who takes care of all my electronics and technology and everything. And I try to do what I can to build him a base where he can actually make some money for what he does. But in the end, I'm a one-man show because it's mercenary mindset. It really is. It's not an easy thing to say. But it's, I have to do what takes care of me and my family first. And that's not all of it itself bad. But isn't there a point when we get to a certain point in life, we say, so am I going to do something for others? And you can say, well, look at all the businesses you've spawned off and look at all the people whose lives are better. Yeah, but is it enough? And there's a part of me that feels like it's not. I'm watching my country fall apart. I'm watching it decay. And I'm realizing the only way to head that off is to build community that doesn't give a fuck what I want it to do. To actually establish things that self-replicate and then it becomes its own thing. To put your money where your mouth is. With your beliefs, less your cash. And I think there's some ways that maybe we can make that happen in the future, and I'll be talking about them in the future. But in spite of what I just said, on some levels, you have to go mercenary right now. You have to say, what do I want to accomplish? That doesn't mean hurt anybody else. It just means you have to get. Have I ever thought about joining DOGE? No, I don't do government. I will not do things inside government. I might use government, but I won't do things inside government. And my response would just be cut everything. This is how, you want me to know what I would do if I was in DOGE? Fire 50% of everybody. In every governmental department, the federal government, half of everybody on day one will just fire. How does that happen? Same way we did the draft in Vietnam. Like, you just start pulling birth dates until 50% of the people are gone in any given department. Like, we got down, like, Department A is down to 50% of capacity. Okay, figure it out. Department B's at 45. Keep going with Department B until and when we're down to 50%, see what doesn't work. And then say, did we need it to work? I think what you would find is most everything would just keep going. And there we've cut half the cost out of all of those operational expenses, and they're not bothering people that need to be left alone. Do you know how that could work? No. No one would ever do it. It's all they will never do something that drastic. But it's what needs to be done. It's the only way to do it. So I have another plan. Let's take a couple questions and I'll wrap up. Jeff T says, is it true that MLK is a Marx? I guess he means Marxist. If so, why does everyone prize him? I would not call Martin Luther King a Marxist. I think there's a lot of people that like to invoke MLK that are Marxists. Martin Luther King, by the way, politically was a Republican, so I'm not going to call MLK a Marxist. And I share Martin Luther King's dream. What the hell just happened here? Okay, I fixed it. Of everybody being judged by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. And my biggest problem with the Marxists of today is they're trying to reverse that, and they literally want to judge people based on the color of their skin. Unless you're gay or unless you're trans, and then you get to have, even though you're white, you get to have the extra privileges of being disadvantaged. So Jeff also says, do you think Trump's people will help fix some of the problems with the FBI, ATF, IRS, and all the other departments? Nope, I don't. No, I don't believe that. Maybe a little bit here and there, maybe a little bit within the ATF and FBI, IRS, no. No, I'd love to see Trump make good on his threat to get rid of the IRS, but I don't think it'll happen. I think we're going to get tariffs and income tax. Yay! That's what I think is going to happen. Though we may get somewhat of a tax cut, but no, he's not going to reform the IRS. Richard says, with Romney calling her a traitor, will this affect Tulsi Gabbard's nomination to the DNI? No. Nobody gives a fuck about Mitt Romney anymore. Just, he's irrelevant. You don't matter. Bye. Well, bye. Right? Like, I don't give a fuck what Mitt Romney has to say about anything. And I don't think any sitting senator gives a fuck what Mitt Romney has to say. I don't think Mitt Romney was even liked. Mitt Romney is the epitome of what people mean when they say rhino. I think rhino is a stupid term because you're acting like it's the exception rather than the rule. But like, he didn't even try to hide it. Why do you think he was a presidential candidate? He was a failsafe. If somehow he wins, the deep state still wins. That was what Romney was. And Guardians for Life threw me a 10-pound, or is that 10 euro? Is that 10 euros? One way or the other. Guardians for Life sent me that. 9 years listening. Thanks for everything. Thanks to you. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that. I don't know if those are euros or pounds, but I'm sure it'll get converted to United States space dollars when I get it out of my Google payment at the end of the month. So thank you for that. All right. So let's go ahead real quick and tell you guys about the item of the day today. I brought this out Friday, but it wasn't on the show because it was a flashback. This is the Thermo Maven instant read thermometer. If you cook food at home, and you should because it's so damn expensive to go out anymore, and you want to make really great high-quality food, you need a good instant read thermometer. I have like the wire, like the meter probe thermometers and all, and they work great on a very thick piece of meat, a roast, or like 1 inch or thicker steaks or whatever. They don't work great under like a high-temperature salamander broiler. I cook a lot of steaks that way. Thanks to the people that gave me one of those for my 15-year anniversary. Because it's so, 1,500 degrees and you have that outside piece up against the broiler, not good. They work for what they work for. But thinner steaks and many other things, you need to be able to get that temperature right. I won't say much about it because we went so long today, but it's just a really great product. And they're $20 right now because they're on sale. They're normally $30. And I have this one. It's fantastic. There's a couple things about it I really like. One, if you leave it, as soon as you open it, it turns on. If you leave it sit, it auto shuts off so it doesn't kill the batteries. Two, most of these thermometers run on these stupid, like, these flat, like, hearing aid batteries and shit. And they're really actually hard to actually change. When you go to close the thing on them, the way they're designed, they don't close really well. So the batteries are expensive. They don't have much longevity. They don't auto shut off, and then they're a pain in the ass to change. Where this one uses triple A's, there's one screw, you take it out, you pop them in, you're done. And I love standardization. So this is a great tool, and it's very well made. If you pick one up, you'll see. Real quick, I saw Dennis ask me, what? Any thoughts on XRP? It's a shit coin. The end. That's it. I'm going to just fill this in for you guys. I know you, Dennis, and I love you, right? But I'm going to say, if you say to me, Jack, what are your thoughts on any crypto coin other than fucking Bitcoin, it's a shit coin. It's a casino. It's a gamble. But they're working. They went and talked to Trump. You want to gamble and you want to use that information on your gambling? Go ahead. It's gambling. It's gambling. It's a shit coin. Period. The only exception I have to that, if you're using it for the right reasons with the right protocols, would be Monero for completely private transactions. But that I can't get into today unless you're doing a whole bunch of other things. And the person that's your counterparty in the transaction is doing those two, it is nowhere near as private as you think that it is. It is better to work within the boundaries of the law using all the loopholes they put in it for themselves, including the tax code loopholes, real estate loopholes, et cetera, than to defy the law and end up in a pen somewhere where you can't fulfill the dreams we talked about today. Catch you guys tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to do yet. I am thinking about making tomorrow's show on Bitcoin. If you'd be interested in that, let me know. And if not, and there's not enough interest in it, maybe we'll do something else. Run you round. They said you should have a house the American way. Dollar down, a dollar a month, and you never have to pay. There's a better way to do this. Let me show you a better way.